So there was a woman whose husband would commute on the freeway back and forth from work every day. And she was at home and she was listening to the radio, and she heard on the radio there was this crazy driver in the middle of the freeway going the wrong direction. So she thought she'd better call her husband and warn him, so she called his cell phone and said, "Honey, there's this crazy driver heading the wrong direction down the freeway. I just thought you better be careful." And he responded, "You know, what's worse than that, honey? There are hundreds of them." Those who aren't laughing, I'll let that sink in. We're finishing today. We're winding up our summer series. Our summer series, which has been awesome, on being present. I am so incredibly grateful for all of our speakers this summer who have shared their incredible gifts with us, sharing their perspective, sharing their heart. And if you could take a moment, in case some of them might be here today, to express your gratitude. And today we're looking at being present to vocation. Vocation. You know the best and boldest idea of what it means to be a Presbyterian? I bet you waiting all your life to hear this. The best and boldest idea of what it means to be a Presbyterian is that every single person is called by God. Not just a select few, not just a privileged few, not people who just simply stand up here and talk to you all there, out there. Every single person is called by God. The word vocation actually comes from the Latin meaning to call. Vocation is that sense of knowing yourself in some way to be summoned by God. Vocation is shaping your life around a vision and a central commitment that shapes your life in a particular direction. Listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say about vocation in Ephesians chapter 4.
I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You know, in an attempt to escape the nastiness of the election season, this summer I've been reading the biography of Benjamin Franklin. Highly recommended. And the writer of this biography said that Benjamin Franklin, his whole life was shaped by one question that he asked every single morning. Benjamin Franklin asked the question, "How do you live a life that is useful, virtuous, worthy, moral, spiritually meaningful?" Benjamin Franklin asked himself that question every single day. He lived to the age of 84, and he lived an incredibly full life. But every day, the writer of this biography said that Benjamin Franklin had a strong sense of being called by God. And he felt his calling was to love and to serve God. And he felt the best way to stay true to his calling was to wake up every day and ask himself, "How can I use my prodigious energy, my creativity, my imagination for the common good? How can I use my unique gifts, my energy, my imagination for the common good?" That's what got Benjamin Franklin out of bed every single morning. What gets you out of bed in the morning? What got you out of bed this morning? Okay, confession. I know what got me out of bed this morning. I had an incredibly full bladder. And I need to say that probably is what gets me out of bed most mornings. That might be too much information. But my soul, I don't know about you, but my soul yearns and longs for something more compelling than a full bladder. You know, the Japanese have a word for what gets you out of bed in the morning. They call it ikigai. Your ikigai, the best I can understand, the Japanese sense of this word is an understanding that today matters. You know, sometimes we live our life, well, today is like yesterday and it's going to be like tomorrow, and we kind of just roll through it. The Japanese, in the sense of ikigai, means, no, today, don't miss it. It's a gift. It's not going to come again. Today matters, and the Japanese sense of ikigai is that you matter to today. So today matters, and you matter to today. So the Japanese sense of ikigai really is trying to suggest you have work to do. You have a contribution to make. You have something to offer this day that only you can offer. You know, ikigai is embracing this spiritual challenge, this spiritual work of trying to figure out what is my unique gift, the gift that only I can offer to the world. It's not trying to figure out, okay, what can I offer at some other time, some future date, when I have it all figured out? No, right now, today. So when you woke up this morning, did you contemplate that? Did you consider that? Did you wonder, what can I give today? What can I offer today? You know, Viktor Frankl is a psychiatrist, and Viktor Frankl once confronted the psychiatrist of all psychiatrists. Who would be? Sigmund Freud. They had a conflict. Now, Sigmund Freud believed that the primary drive and desire of every human being is to pursue pleasure. Frankl disagreed. Frankl said the primary drive and desire of every human being is to experience a deep sense of meaning. And Frankl believed that we numb ourselves and we become self-absorbed in the pursuit of pleasure to escape the truth that our lives lack that deep sense of meaning. And Frankl said there is an essential component to living a meaningful life: having a compelling reason to get up in the morning. Having a compelling reason beyond the pursuit of pleasure, beyond the full bladder, to get up each and every morning. You know, feeling like your life is not useful, feeling like your life doesn't matter, is both a cause and a consequence of depression. The need to feel useful is part of our spiritual DNA. So I want to suggest being present to our vocation isn't necessarily a job. It isn't necessarily a career. It isn't necessarily, oftentimes we think, well, there's some secret purpose for me on some path somewhere out there, and I hope someday to discover it. Maybe it's waking up each day to the truth that this day matters, and you, unique, flawed, fragile, beautiful you, matter in God's eyes to this day. Tony Campolo tells this amazing story about how we're each called, each and every person, not just a select few, but everyone is called by God. Tony Campolo lived in Philadelphia, and he was walking down Chestnut Street. And he was walking down the street, and he noticed a homeless man, kind of filthy layers of clothing and a greasy beard, a guy who was shouting at someone who wasn't there. And this man was approaching him. And as this homeless man approached Dr. Campolo, he said, "Can I give you some of my coffee?" And he held up a styrofoam cup from McDonald's. And Dr. Campolo said, "I'd rather not have," he thought to himself, he didn't say it out loud, but he thought, I'd rather not have this coffee. But he felt the need to affirm this man's generosity. So he took a breath and said, "Sure." And the man handed him the coffee. And he took a sip, handed it back. And he said, "Well, you're being pretty generous today, giving a total stranger your coffee. What's gotten into you?" And this man said, "The coffee this morning is absolutely delicious. And when God gives you something that good, you should share it with somebody." Now, Tony Campolo, he'd been in these situations, and he was a little cynical, and he's thinking to himself, "Okay, here it comes. He's setting me up to get money." So he said, "You want something from me, don't you?" And the man said, "Yes, I do." And so Campolo started to reach into his pocket for his wallet, and he said, "Well, what do you want?" "I want a hug." So Dr. Campolo kind of tentatively put his arms around the man, and this man gave him the biggest bear hug you can possibly imagine, this kind of claw-like grip of love. And Tony Campolo said, "I could see all of the passersby staring, and I felt this embarrassment rising up within me. But as this man continued to hug me and hold me, I felt the embarrassment fade until I began to realize it was kind of like being wrapped in the very arms of God. It was then that I realized I was the one in need of grace that morning." Now, who's to say? Who's to say this homeless man on Chestnut Street, at least for that morning, wasn't living a meaningful life? Who's to say this homeless man on Chestnut Street, at least for that morning, wasn't following his calling, his vocation? In a cold, callous, cynical world, to give us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. In a harsh and hurried world, to give us a glimpse of what unconditional love looks like. Maybe the vocation of this man for that morning was sharing a delicious cup of coffee with a stranger and a great big bear hug. And Tony Campolo said, "He gave me the cup again to take another sip. This time it tasted like wine. And the hug, the bread of life." You know, this sense of call, this sense of vocation, the sense of we're all called by God to contribute our unique selves is not new. It showed up about 20, 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. The Greek city of Corinth were always fighting with each other. I think they're the precursors of Presbyterians. They were always kind of competing with each other and arguing over this or that or the other thing. And the thing they were arguing about this time was who's most important? Whose function in the body of Christ is really more valuable than other people's function? Surely preachers and teachers have a far more important role than those who sweep the floors or prepare meals. Surely those who have those special gifts should be held in higher esteem than others, right? Well, here is what Paul said to that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7.
There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in each person and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
Here's how another writer, a translator, put this.
You are the light of the world.
Nope, not that.
What?
Another translator put it, God shows up in each person in a unique way. And your unique gifts and your unique selfhood is to be shared for the common good of all. That one translator put that same verse and said, no one person is more important than the other, but each person is vital in God's story of healing the world with love. Jesus put it a lot more simply, I think. Now.
You are the light of the world. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I call you to be light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, shine, be generous with your lives.
Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are light for all the world. I call you to be light bearers. Notice the tense there. You are. Not you might be, not you should be, not you could be, not maybe you'll be someday. You are. As you are, flawed, fragile, imperfect, beautiful you. You are light for all the world. Can somebody tell me the first words that God spoke in Scripture? Are you too busy coloring? The first words that... I heard it. Let there be light, right? First words God spoke in Scripture. So what it says in Genesis, it says, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the deep face of the earth, and God spoke in the darkness and said,
Let there be light.
That's the way God responds to darkness, to speak into it. The word vocation comes from the root word vocare, which literally means to give voice. What if our calling is to give voice to light in the dark places? What if our calling is to make sure that light is louder than the dark? There is no doubt today the darkness, the negativity, the hate, the fear, the pessimism, all of that has captured the news cycle. We must not let it capture our hearts. Our job is to continue to give voice through our lives. Let there be light. It can be as simple as a cup of coffee with a stranger. And a hug. You are light for all the world. This day matters, and you matter to this day. I pray to God that you wake up each day with something far more compelling than a full bladder. And I pray you might be inspired by Paul's words.
Live a life worthy of the calling you have received.
So as the offering is received this morning, I pray that we might take a moment to consider what our offering is. Our imperfect, flawed, fragile, unique, beautiful selves. What is our gift, not only to the world, but to this day? The offering will be received.